And now, you're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
Hello, everyone out there in Tampa Bay and beyond. This is James Knowles coming at you for the RBLR Sports Podcast. I am here, as I usually am, each week covering the Rowdies with my usual co-host, Carlos Rueda. Carlos, how are you doing this week in December now?
James, I'm doing all right. It is Tuesday, December 5th. It's a bit chilly out. The winter weather is certainly starting to settle in over here. It's starting to feel a little bit jolly. Christmas is around the corner. Hoping for some Christmas gifts from the Rowdies in the form of player announcements. Love all the guys we have returning, but as we may or may not mention in a little bit, one of those guys we thought was returning is not. And one guy that we didn't know if he was returning or not is. Bit of good news, bit of strange news, I'll say, from the Rowdies this week. But everything's going pretty well, cranking out a couple final papers as the semester wraps up. Georgetown basketball has its biggest game of the week of the season this weekend against our rivals Syracuse. That's always a fun one. If you're up at 11:30 a.m. on Saturday, tune in. I'm probably going to be belligerently drunk by the time 11 a.m. rolls around, and it'll be a fun one against our rivals. So that is filling up my offseason. There's still sports for me, but I'm craving Rowdies content, James. We need some new players in here. I'm really looking forward to that in the coming weeks. What's going on with you?
Yeah, just about the same. I guess that it's getting a little colder down here tonight as well. I have heard on the news reports that we are going to be getting into the 40s by Thursday morning. So that is going to be a little bit different even for us Floridians. But as we said last week, I guess most people aren't tuning in to listen to the weather. If you want to listen to us talk about the weather, then hey, put that in a request, because otherwise we are going to try to talk about mostly just the Rowdies. And this week in particular, we are going to take a look back at a very famous Tampa Bay Rowdy now. Now that he has left the club, we wanted to go back and look at not only his tenure as a coach, but also everything that led up to that. Now, I guess, his legacy. So we are going to take a look back at Neil Collins's time here from, when he started as a player up through his, getting actually hired to do the coaching job and then moving on now to play, not play, but to coach at Barnsley. It would be weird if he popped up playing at Barnsley again, I guess. So that is what we will be doing tonight. And before we get into anything, please like and subscribe to us on YouTube. And you can subscribe to us as well on any major podcast platform. Also, if you would like, please follow RBLR Sports at RBLR Sports on social media sites such as Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, wherever you are, we are too. And Carlos, now, because of a couple little bits of news, we are actually not going to start with Neil Collins like I had intended, according to this doc here. But yeah, we need to actually talk about a little bit of transfer news. It was announced today that Freddie Kleeman will be back for 2024 after his option was exercised. So we do have him on the books, and that is another center back that we can rely on, someone that we did have for quite a bit of this past season. But in a weird twist of fate, as you said, Carlos, something that we didn't expect, a player who had signed on for the 2024 season has been transferred away. And JJ Williams will now be joining Rhode Island FC for their inaugural season outside of Pawtucket, Rhode Island. I guess they are building a stadium in Pawtucket, very close to the water. But as it happens, they are going to be playing at Bryant University, which is not quite in that city. Regardless of all of that, JJ Williams will be lining up in their very distinctive blue and yellow. I have liked what I've seen of the jerseys, but I am kind of disappointed that JJ Williams will be wearing one.
Yeah, I am really confused. I mean, that's it. I mean, we've been hyping up for the past few weeks how excited we are about having JJ Williams and Cal Jennings back together.
Yeah, exactly.
And how incredible that's going to be, because the issue at the beginning of this past season was that this is an entirely new team, right? So you're bringing together guys that are really, really talented, but haven't played together. And by the end of the year, that chemistry was built and a full season under their belt, and they were scoring goals left and right. And together, they were producing incredible plays. They were just incredible, incredible together up top. So it's really, really weird, really confusing, and really unfortunate. as of now, that this move happened, in my opinion, because, I mean, we go out, let's say we get, you know, I'm purely hypothetical here. We go out and get like Dequa, right? To be the JJ Williams replacement. Like somehow we just go out and get the best striker in the USL last year. Even then it's like, is that better than just keeping JJ Williams and Kyle Jennings up top when they were just producing as a duo, I think the best striker duo in the USL, and like producing insane amount of goals together. Like you still have to build that chemistry again. That was kind of the issue at the beginning of last year. That was why I was so excited, right? To have this duo coming back with a full season under their belt together. It was going to be great. So I think it's highly, highly unfortunate and just kind of confusing at this point how this move, or I guess why this move happened. I'm sure there's a move on the horizon to replace JJ Williams. We'll have to see whether it's, you know, a pretty big name or not. And either way, we'll get behind them. I'm sure they know what they're doing, I guess, right, James? We've had a pretty good run in offseason the past few years. So I'm not like entirely concerned or anything, but at this point in time, I think the general reaction from fans is kind of just like, what? Right? I mean, yeah. It's really weird. I hope he does well in Rhode Island.
Not against us.
I mean, it's just confusing right now, to be honest. We'll have to see how he plays over there. I hope he does well again. But at the end of the day, this is a Rowdy's podcast, so I'm just a little bit confused about why that happened. But nonetheless, I'm hoping for a big name. I'm hoping for a big splash in cash when we go out and get a pretty big name player to replace him. Again, I do love the excitement of like not knowing. I kind of like that about the offseason. And to a certain extent, we didn't have that because we re-signed most of our starting lineup. So I guess this adds in a sort of X factor for us to keep an eye on this offseason, which we didn't have otherwise. And content-wise, James, I kind of like that. Gives us something to talk about. Gives us something to put down on our offseason wish list for later on this offseason. And eventually it'll give us something to talk about as we break down who that new signing is, assuming that we bring in a new striker, which I think is a safe bet. So weird, but at the end of the day, we can trust the Rowdy front office. I think they've proven that they know what they're doing in the past, so no reason to believe otherwise at this point.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think, as you said, though, it is also true that there is definitely going to be an expectation from the Rowdy's fan base that we are going to replace JJ Williams with someone who is hopefully of a similar level. You know, JJ Williams has built a reputation around the USL as being, I guess, one of the best players who is not quite at the level to step up to MLS. You'd think that somebody would give him another chance there based on what he's done here, but you know, whatever he was earning at USL level, you have to assume that it was one of the higher tier contracts. So let's assume if he is going out the door, then, you know, whatever money that is obviously must go towards something else. And hopefully it does go towards someone who is going to be, if not as big a name as JJ Williams, then obviously someone who is hopefully a bigger name. But yeah. I don't know who that would be, obviously.
Yeah.
There is a list of free agents available right now that you and I might peruse a little bit later on in this offseason, Carlos. But yeah. I think that we are both going to sit back and hope that obviously JJ Williams gets replaced adequately. And I do expect that they will do so based on, you know, previous years, but it's definitely a weird one. It's definitely weird that, because yeah, he was announced as coming back for 2024. That means a contract was in place. So my idea is that he must have been bought out, but you know, the Rowdies did not put that in the press release. So we obviously don't have anything to report to confirm that. I have no idea. And unfortunately I wasn't in any of those rooms as much as I would like to be. So yeah, we're just going to have to speculate.
Yeah. And I think we can safely assume like we got something in return because of that contract that we knew existed, right? I'm sure that didn't just like evaporate into thin air.
Right.
But what that is, we don't really know, and that's kind of just how it is in U.S. soccer. You don't really learn about that because of, you know, the rules here regarding contracts and the privacy around that. So, it is one of those things where we'll just have to wait and see. Again, how many strikers are out there available in the USL that are at JJ Williams quality or better? It's pretty limited, I would say, honestly. So we would have to go out and get a pretty big name to replace him, I think, adequately, or at least the level Rowdy's fans would expect for, you know, with how much production he had last year. But again, I think so much of his value was the duo and the chemistry with Cal Jennings. So I really, 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 really do think you lose something pretty significant in that duo, right? Like, you're going to have to rebuild, to a certain extent, that chemistry that took a while to build or kind of adjust to a new system maybe, right? So, maybe we move to some sort of different formation. I'm sure Nielsen has his view for the team and whatnot. Maybe JJ Williams, you know, purely hypothetical, wouldn't have fit into that scheme. I don't know how he wouldn't have, but you get my point. There are strikers out there, and we can keep an eye on them. And again, we can talk about who those may be in another episode. One that comes top of my mind that I just literally just opened the sheet when you were talking, just perused really quickly. Romario Williams, by the way, hasn't gotten re-signed. 29 years old, kind of in his prime right now. Always a pretty big name striker in the USL. I don't know. Just to throw a name out there for people to consider. But at the end of the day, we really don't know. So, yeah. I kind of weird to think about. This is kind of still in the intro of our episode. It very much feels like the big news of the week.
Yeah, right.
I think justifiably so, because it is very, very weird. But it's a long off season, and, you know, we're kind of coming up in the period in time in the off season where you start to hear about those new signings. So who knows, next few weeks or so could be pretty big in figuring out generally what this team will look like going into next year, and maybe who's going to be playing in that JJ Williams role, if anyone.
Yeah, exactly. So just to let everyone know where Rhode Island, I guess, is, not literally physically, but with their team, I should say. JJ Williams is one of their strikers. They have also brought in Mark Doyle, a player from the Irish League. They have brought in Prince Sadie and Connor McGlynn, I believe both from Hartford Athletics. So just had to hop a little state border there. And then they have brought in Coke Vegas and Grant Stoneman from San Diego Loyal. So that just about rounds out the team, along with Amos Shapiro Thompson is a player from the New York Red Bulls Youth Academy. But yeah, that's what JJ Williams will at least have to work with for the time being. I am assuming, based on everything that Rhode Island has done so far, they do have a little bit more cash to splash themselves, and we'll see what that turns into. But Carlos, as you said, this is a Rowdies podcast, and we are here to talk about the Rowdies. Let's leave Rhode Island alone for just a little bit, I guess. We can return to them in the offseason if we absolutely need to. But in the meantime, let's get back to our planned and scheduled discussion tonight for Neil Collins. So, Neil Collins, obviously a club legend, I would say, both as, you know, a player during not the best time of the Rowdies' recent history, but he has taken this club to, I would say, new heights and given us a lot more to expect every new year. So, Carlos, if you wouldn't mind, please get us started in his career as a player and then turning into his career as a coach with us.
Yeah, for sure. And then, like you mentioned, this is a name that I think is worth taking an episode to talk about, obviously. He did a lot for us in his time here, and again, still coached a full half season before heading on out. And starting his coaching career in England with Barnsley. So before that, though, he did start his playing career out in Scotland, as many of you probably know, playing with a team called Queen's Park back there, and then spending some time with Dumbarton, where we notably have a bit of a fan base from our Rowdy Scotland supporters over there. He moved to Sunderland, played a bit over there, and following several loan spells, he kind of played a bulk of his time with Wolverhampton. Stayed there for a long period. Eventually moved to Leeds and then spent some time in Sheffield United Sheffield United fans remember him pretty well over there. And after his time in Sheffield, he ended up in none other than Tampa Bay, James. He joined the Tampa Bay Rowdies, then of the North American Soccer League. And after 22 appearances in 2016, the Rowdies moved to the USL in 2017, where, again, he made plenty of appearances, continued to be a key player, made 30 appearances that year before finally retiring in the middle of the 2018 season after 9 further games. And if you have been following this team closely for a bit now, at least since 2017, 2016, you might remember that moment pretty clearly. It was a very, 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 very strange time. So the Rowdies did make the conference semifinals in 2017, but then as that 2018 season rolled around, it started pretty poorly. It was one of those spells where we were kind of in a dark area. The results weren't coming. We lost 3 games in a row. We'd continued on this trend that had been building up for a couple seasons at this point of basically never winning on the road or even drawing on the road. We couldn't get results away from home. And by the time the Open Cup game rolled around that year, James, in 2018, you might remember a really, 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 really bottom of the, bottom of the barrel result. It was a 1-0 loss to the Jacksonville Armada of the NPSL of the time, right? And needless to say, Stuart Campbell was let go after a pretty bad stretch that kind of was capped off with that loss on a rainy night in a literal like community park field in Jacksonville. I remember watching this game so clearly. It was so unfortunate. It was a really, really dark time, both literally on the field because it was raining the whole night, and metaphorically for the Rowdies. It was probably one of the worst losses in our modern history, which is a really, really weird time for the team. And it did not take more than 24 hours for Neil Collins to be hired and announced as the Rowdies head coach in a very, very short turnaround. If you recall, Neil Collins took over immediately. It was a really, really incredible turnaround from player to coach within a 24-hour cycle, which has been pretty well documented. Just an incredible like experience for him to be able to do that so quickly. Despite not qualifying for the playoffs in that first year, I think most people had sort of expected that. It would have been insane for him to turn around the team like that in the middle of the year after such a bad stretch. I think people just felt pretty good about a change, even if it did have to come in the middle of the season. Change continued to come around, James, because it was later that year in October, the Rays announced their purchase of the Rowdies from former owner Bill Edwards. So it was quite the season of change, we can say. Certainly a lot of turnover in that offseason, but it was certainly for the good because in 2019, the Rowdies made the playoffs again to lose in the first round 2-1 in the first game against who would quickly become our perennial rivals, Louisville City. And it would certainly start to turn around, though, because, as we know, he'd start to pick things up. The modern era of Neil Collins' tenure would come to its, I guess, glorious fruition. No, he never got the title. We'll talk about that in a second. The one thing that he couldn't really ever get going, though, I will say this, was that the Open Cup campaigns of that early period, and honestly of the later Neil Collins period as well, never actually, I think, kind of got to that remarkable run we've always wanted. We've still kind of been missing that since that run where we beat Seattle Sounders at home in kind of a legendary game, right? I think Rowdies fans have been certainly craving for something like that. But that's one thing we won't talk about too much in the Neil Collins era. Those Open Cup games were certainly exciting at times. You remember that game against Orlando City when he got that
red card. That's the only one that I was going to bring up, yeah.
Yeah, he stormed away and you know, caused a commotion over there. Certainly showed the passion that we loved him for. And yeah, and that was kind of the career up until COVID. He basically had one full season under his belt before COVID hit. And can you imagine taking over like being coach during COVID? Just an incredibly weird time. But he was able to certainly overcome some incredible challenges. Before we jump into any of that, let me recap a little bit more about the Neil Collins era. hail him a bit more as a hero and the legend he is. I do need to mention, of course, that liking and subscribing is free, James. But if you need some new threads, you can totally support this podcast by heading over to shop.rblrsports.com and checking out all the cool designs that have been cooked up over there. The link is in the description of this podcast. We had plenty of cool designs. Use promo code COYR on any order over there for 10% off your order. Really cool stuff. Plenty of cool designs. And speaking of those designs, there's one particular design that our RBLR Lightning crew has cooked up. The RBLR Lightning podcast. Oh, let me move my head a bit over here on the screen. they've teamed up with our friends at the Bolt Report to raise money for a great cause. Over on the rblrsports.com website, you can go find an ugly sweater themed t-shirt that will look absolutely great on you. It's got a great design. If you can't see it, if you're not watching on the YouTube channel, it's right next to my face here. And there's three Stanley Cups on there in a kind of ugly sweater design, kind of 8-bit pixel design. It's really cute. It looks really great. It'll go well as any Christmas present. If you're a Lightning fan, any Tampa Bay sports fans will absolutely love it. And again, 100% of the profit will be donated to a great cause, Toys for Tots. Perfect for the Christmas spirit. Give back a little bit and buy a great shirt in the process. The link is also in the description of this show. So you can go ahead and again, head over to rblrsports.com. Use promo code COYR for 10% off any order, but particularly go ahead and look for that ugly sweater themed t-shirt with the three Stanley Cups on it. It'll look great for you. It'll look great on you. It'll look great on anybody you want to get a Christmas gift for. And 100% of the proceeds will go to Toys for Tots. So again, check that out in the link in the description. It's going for a great cause. It's coming around for the perfect season. It's giving season. It's the holidays. There's no better time to do that.
Absolutely. And yeah, we are also giving away a few on the old twitter.com. So please visit us at RBLR Lightning on Twitter for more details on how you could possibly win one if that is what you would prefer to do. So I will take it into the COVID years because, as you said, Carlos, how in the hell does a brand new coach get started in the middle of COVID? Now, I will say just beforehand, he did have some coaching experience getting into his tenure as the Rowdies head coach. It wasn't much. I remember when we had a preseason interview. It wasn't even related to the season that was coming up, but Neil Collins was talking about his professional background, which, you know, obviously is a professional soccer player, but he also had some other stuff in there, and that included taking coaching license courses. So we did see that happen over the course of his tenure as a coach, as every so often he would have to go away, usually back to Britain, to take coaching license courses that he had started over there. And in the meantime, I remember he had also said he had done some coaching at a school, and I wish I remembered where I had those notes. It is in some, is it, you know, it might actually be in one of those notepads behind my laptop, but I don't want to get that right now. He did work at some school as a coach in the prior years before he actually became the full-time head coach of the Tampa Bay Rowdy. So he had just that tiny little bit's worth of coaching experience before he took over a professional men's team. And, you know, he was a professional men's player, so he's going to have at least a locker room experience there. But then dealing with all of that, that's one thing. And in 2020, you step into COVID. So 2020 obviously was a very weird year. There was a lot less turnover in between from one season to the next and more padding of the roster that offseason. So that was at least a benefit. The season was cut short in 2020, obviously, due to the COVID pandemic. So I don't know how many people remember this, but I believe the Rowdies played their first game in March. And then as the first home game was coming up one weekend, it was that week that the whole world shut down. I remember there was the whole thing about the basketball player who was touching all the microphones.
Rudy Gobert.
And so then the NBA shut down that week. And once the NBA shut down, like every other sport shut down right after it. MLS did, and then obviously USL followed suit. There were all the European leagues and all the South American and Asian leagues as well. So it was just, you know, a very weird time. And we obviously had this long break in the middle of what was supposed to be the beginning of the season, actually. And if I'm not mistaken, it was roughly July that we got started up again. So, you know, I don't know exactly what the players were doing in that break on their own. I believe that most people had to be pretty much home alone. And, well, you know, with their family, obviously, you didn't have to separate that far, but everybody was isolated within their homes. So hopefully the players had their, you know, instructions in the offseason for how to stay fit and ready for whenever the competition started up, which, as I said, I believe was July. So in 16 games that season total, they only had 3 losses. Not that bad, obviously. And we probably all remember how the playoffs went then, with an away win over Lou City being the final game that we played. We went away to Louisville City for the Eastern Conference Final. And the boys dug out a very hard fought win. I think that we were all celebrating in our homes, most of us. And then there were a couple of people who got to be there, which was really cool. And Carlos was one of those, obviously. But yeah, then unfortunately, the team contracted COVID, I guess, on the way back or somehow. But in the meantime, the actual USL Championship final, that was unable to be played because the Rowdies had all contracted COVID. And this actually happened the week before in the USL League One Championship too. So we did not get a final in the third division league. And I think we only got Eastern Western Conference champions there. And then that was the same in the USL Championship. So Carlos, before I move any further, I just want to turn it over to you to talk about that game in Louisville City, because beating Louisville City is obviously very important. And to do so then was, you know, crazy under all of those circumstances. And then obviously we didn't get to play the final game afterwards. So yeah, it was like one after another of all of these things that we'll probably, hopefully never see again.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was just an incredibly weird time, as we all remember. This was only 3 years ago, right? 2020. It feels like an eternity ago. But we're still not that far removed from everything that happened. We can obviously remember everything pretty clearly. By this point, again, it's worth remembering that Neil Collins is still a pretty new head coach. He had basically, this was his second full season. No, not basically. This was his second full season under his belt. So to make the conference final and ultimately win the conference final before not being able to play the final in his second full season is something that I don't think we talk enough about. We mentioned a lot about his accolades and everything, but I think there's a certain kind of misunderstanding that, or a misconception maybe is a better word for it, that these are all like very, very recent things. Obviously, that 2020 run was just his second full season, and something that's not mentioned enough. It's incredible to do that so quickly, and there's very few people that could pull that off. I guess one of those is Juan Guerra, by the way, who won with Phoenix in his first year. But other than that, Neil Collins was just an incredible, incredible personality. And it was so cool being at this game. And I love talking about this game because it was one of those times where, since it was just a weird COVID situation, flights were really cheap, James. Like, nobody was going anywhere, obviously. Everybody was at home. It's at this point, it's what? October. We're 5 months removed from like the start of everything. We know a little bit more about COVID as a disease, but you know, it's still relatively unknown. A lot of people are stuck at home, and this was a time where my dad and I were able to venture out and get on a plane that had very, very few people on it, go to an airport in Indianapolis that had very, very few people on it, rent a car for very cheap and drive down, get to know like the Midwest, which I've never been to as a region. Indianapolis is a very cool city, by the way. If you ever have a chance to go, really cool stuff over there. Louisville, also a surprisingly cool city. But again, it's just an incredibly weird time. I mean, we're also, by the way, coming off of the Black Lives Matter protests. Mm-hmm. That whole year and that whole summer especially. We get to Louisville and there's still like very, very clear scars that city's like healing with and healing from, right? Not to get into like an incredibly serious topic out of nowhere here, but it was super relevant at the time. We get there and we're like, why are all these restaurants in like downtown closed? And it's like, oh, there was these major, major protests that were still ongoing. And like businesses had been torn up, and then there's been a lot going on that year, obviously in the wake of all the events that happened. So it was an incredibly eventful time despite everybody being at home, and it was really, really weird to be going to a soccer game in the middle of that, right? I mean, you have an incredibly important phenomenon with the Black Lives Matter protests. You have COVID keeping everybody at home. In the middle of all that, a second division conference final, right? And frankly, it was an incredible break from all of it. We won the game. The atmosphere was incredible. Louisville didn't have a chance to open their stadium the way they wanted with a full house. But honestly, it felt like a full house. It was incredibly loud. Their fans were super engaged all game. It was really, really impressive. The atmosphere was awesome, just with half capacity, quote unquote. There's definitely a little bit more. But being there, and Steven was there, and Mitchell was there, and a bunch of other Rowdies fans that I'm not going to remember were there. The families of the players were there. It was incredible how much Rowdy's presence was still there despite all of that. And Neil Collins appreciated that, by the way. I mean, he came over, he greets everybody from a distance, obviously, with the 6 feet COVID stuff. I guess it didn't matter at some point in Louisville. But just an incredible game. I always like to mention the fact that the Rowdy scored all three goals, by the way. If you recall, the Louisville goal was a Lakaweki own goal. So the Rowdies did score three goals in Louisville. Unfortunately, one of them was for Louisville. But I digress. We ended up winning the game. It was an incredible atmosphere. And it was one of the most, just one of the games where I've yelled the most, obviously, because there's not a huge Rowdies contingent there. So I obviously had to make up for that lack of Rowdies fans that were there.
Yeah.
And just incredible, incredible stuff. And again, that, the fact that Neil Collins was able to win over there away conference final with everybody picking against us, our team was good, but it wasn't Louisville good that year.
No, we were. That's definitely something to point out. We were not the Tampa Bay Rowdies, as I think everybody thinks of us now at that point.
Correct. Yeah. And you look at all the expert picks from all the pundits in USL, and we were basically universally picked against, which was probably the right pick, by the way. It was really unfathomable for this Rowdies team to go in there and beat Louisville. The odds were low. There was a lot of question marks around the team, because if you remember that 2020 season format, it was this weird group stage setup where we were playing the same teams three times, maybe more. It could have been four times, honestly, but we were playing the same teams with Miami, Birmingham, and Charleston potentially, and Atlanta as well. Maybe not Charleston, but at the time we were playing against pretty not that great teams. Our group was pretty weak. There's a lot of question marks around the team, and Neil Collins just didn't care. And this was I know we have the Lucky and Kasana moment, a couple seasons later. But this is my personal favorite Neil Collins memory, just the passion he had this game, just the energy, the way he lined up the team to go out there and disregard everything, all the noise about, not being able to win this game, and doing it in such a crazy time in the middle of such incredibly earth shaking, society changing events, was really, really weird, but cool. Right. It was a strange time to do it, but it was incredible that it happened. And to combine it with all the Tampa Bay sports success that was going on in that period was just incredible. It was an incredible time. It was just truly one of the most magical periods of time for Tampa Bay sports. And again, it came at a weird time, but it was so cool that Neil Collins got to be a part of that narrative. I mean, you really saw the Tampa Bay sports media pick up on the Rowdies in a way that you haven't seen before. And I think that this is something that isn't discussed too much, but I think that's part of Neil Collins's effect and the legacy that he left with this team, is that he was, to a certain extent, with that 2020 team, was able to elevate the Rowdies to a certain level of media coverage in Tampa that I think was pretty unprecedented, even when they won the 2012 championship. I mean, they were in the discussion with every team, and the whole Tampa Bay narrative included them. It was really cool, and it was because of Neil Collins that that was able to happen. So that's part of that 2020 legacy that I think isn't discussed enough, but the branding of the Rowdies, the Tampa Bay area, was truly impressive to do, even with COVID, even with such few numbers at the stadiums. It was awesome stuff.
Yeah, actually, Carlos, I think that's a point that I did not include in this doc because I didn't think about that at the time of writing it. But I think that actually is one of the most important parts of it now that I look back on what it was, because Tampa Bay was kind of picking up around 2020 as that year kind of rolled out, right? Because 2020 was the end of COVID, obviously. It was 2021, I think, that the Bucks went to the Super Bowl. And then the Lightning were doing the same thing around the same time. And I can't remember exactly how well the Rays were doing. I think that they were doing well in the playoffs.
They were in the World Series when the Rowdies went to Louisville.
That's right. So, that's what it
yeah,
was.
So that yeah. if actually, this is an incredible like memory as well that I didn't mention. But that night that we won the conference final, went back to the hotel, happened to be staying at the same hotel as a bunch of the Rowdy staff, or as all the Rowdy staffers, hanging out with them, me not getting drinks because I wasn't 21 back then, but my dad getting drinks with them, just like celebrating the win. We put on the Rays game. Brett Phillips hits that incredible walk-off that same night, by the way. So if you were up and you were a Rowdy's fan, and if you're a Rowdy's fan, I can safely assume you're probably a Tampa Bay sports fan as a whole. Right. You probably watched that Rays game that night as well, and it would have been an insane night for you. That's what happened the same night. So it was just the whole thing was happening that night. And again, it was really cool that Neil Collins and his Rowdies were able to be a part of that discussion, really for the first time in a collective way that I can remember.
No, I think that is just totally down to the specifics of the time that we were in. Obviously, COVID kind of shut everything down. So the news was COVID. And the only thing that wasn't COVID to talk about was sports. And all of a sudden in Tampa Bay, all of the teams were doing well. And that wasn't just the Bucks that were doing, you know, going on their way to the playoffs at this point. That wasn't just the Lightning, who were having an incredible season at that point, or the Rays, who were in the World Series, as you said. But also, hey, this plucky soccer team that's also from the region. So I think that because of all of the circumstances, we were able to glom onto what was already very successful. And, you know, unfortunately, there are a lot of people in Tampa Bay. There are a lot of people across America who are just going to look at soccer as a sport that other countries play and not one that they would really care about. But, you know, when they do support it is when whatever team they can glom onto is doing well. So if you are in the Tampa Bay region, as you said, Carlos, then even if you're not a soccer fan, all of a sudden the soccer team is doing well in addition to everyone else. Well, hey, I mean, if you have a Tampa Bay moniker starting to get going, rolling off the press now, well, you know, you got one team with the Bucks, you got one team with the Lightning, you got one team with the Rays, that's three. Why not add more? You know, there's another professional team and they're doing the same thing. Let's just make Tampa Bay four teams. And I do think that actually, at that point, the Rowdies came across the radar of a lot more people than they would have under any other normal circumstances. So that is very important to point out, Carlos. I'm glad that you brought that up, because that is it's definitely something that a lot of people would have heard about that previously wouldn't have even known that there was a soccer team. You know, I hate to say it that way, but there are some number of people.
No, it's true.
In Central Florida, who were like, there's a professional soccer team and we're, you know, screaming our heads off about it, but their circles just don't overlap with ours. Suddenly the Tampa Bay Times is covering the Rowdies almost at the same level, because they're adding to this mystique that our sports teams developed in that moment when sports was the only thing to talk about that wasn't COVID. And I think that actually does have a huge impact on not only the team itself, but then the ability to get into the actual discussion and make people stand up and notice that there's a soccer team going on. And hey, it's a pretty good one too. So I'm really happy that you pointed that out. That's something that we should. That's something that we should have as like a 2023 wrap up bit, that we discovered the secret of Tampa Bay for the Tampa Bay Rowdies. But good.
It was a really weird time because you would see, you know, I don't know if you remember that shirt, that design that was making its rounds in Tampa Bay sports Twitter back then.
That is what I had in my head.
Yeah, you had the picture of Tom Brady, Nikita Kucherov. Was it Randy Rosarena?
I think it was.
It was Rosarena, and they're all like locking, you know, arms, like they're, you know, have their arms wrapped around their shoulders. And next to them in that design that so many people were retweeting, sharing, wearing t-shirts. You still see that t-shirt to this day. There's a design up of it in downtown. And it included Sebastian Guanzotti. So next to these like incredible all-stars from American sports media, you have Sebastian Guanzotti, one of the leading scorers for the USL second division soccer in this country. It was truly an incredible step for like Rowdy's branding that kind of just happened naturally because of the circumstances. And again, it's a really like overlooked aspect of the Neil Collins era. And kind of for me, that's why like that whole like the mysticism of the Tampa Bay energy, that 2020 year that Neil Collins was such a big part of. That's kind of why for me that game, although, you know, selfishly I was there, so it was personally just an awesome experience to share that with my dad. But that like that season, that game, that's why I feel like that game had so much more importance, even like culturally, for this organization than even the lucky Emco Sana goal, which was awesome, by the way. But like just like going beyond just the result of the game, kind of like the lore of the Rowdies and the branding and whatnot. That's why that game and that season meant so much for this organization, I would say.
Yeah.
And Neil Collins' legacy as well, obviously.
For sure. That is super important to point out. And I'm really glad that you made that connection because I certainly had not yet. But that is really cool. Yeah. And Tampa Bay, it should be noted, you know, unfortunately, we did not get to play in that final game and the Rays did not win the World Series as we know at this point in time. But as 21 continued, that's when the Bucks went on and won the Super Bowl. I remember because I was staying at my grandmother's house, making sure that, you know, everything was going as well as it could with her and her situation at that time. So I remember people, you know, hearing people driving by on the opposite side of the lake, you know, just honking their horns and awesome. Screaming and fireworks and everything. So it still continued into 2021 with them and the Tampa Bay Lightning. And 2021 actually turned out to be the best year of the Neil Collins reign, regardless of, you know, what happened in 2020 and what happened afterwards. So to get into that, he led the team to the best ever points total in a 32 game season, which I believe was the number of games that the USL had had for most of the seasons prior to that. I will need to fact check before I absolutely put my stamp of approval on that. Either way, the points total was 71 overall, and that was obviously, like I said, a record, very, very high points total with, you know, just crazy, crazy finish to the season ultimately, despite some hiccups along the way, and possibly the most exciting Rowdies game of the modern era, which I do want to get into a little bit more. We made the USL Championship final. That was very difficult, but we did it. And then it was unfortunately there that we lost to 3-1 to upstart Orange County. Orange County, no one expected them to get anywhere near that far in the playoffs, let alone win the whole thing. I don't even think Orange County expected that. We lost at home. And unfortunately, that was probably our best shot to get the trophy that everybody wanted that year. This was also the year that Sebastian Guanzotti scored 22 goals, including one in the playoffs. So he was not the golden boot that season, but he was second overall, and I believe that was, you know, his best year with the Rowdies too. That was the best year that we saw with Neil Collins, even if we did lose in the final. And, you know, I think that we can, as much as it would have been great, we can still look back. It's very hard for fans to look back on a season that they lost and be like, well, I do have fond memories, because most people, the vast majority of people, are going to be like, I don't care, you know, it's the winner, and then no one else remembers anything about it. And that's kind of true. But I will say, for Rowdies fans, I think that the Eastern Conference final that year is probably going to be the most legendary game in a lot of people's Rowdies memory. Like, Carlos, I think you pointing to the Eastern Conference final the year before, under all the circumstances, you having made it there, that totally makes sense. But for the vast majority of people, 2021 is going to be the Eastern Conference final game that they remember above any other game, probably for the rest of their lives. Because, I mean, that was just insane. We were down I don't remember how long we were down, Carlos, but we were down 2-0 until what, the 70th, 80th something minute, and the 77th minute. Thank you, your producer Eureka, always there with the facts. Go. But yeah, so our super sub, Lucky Mkosana, comes on and he scores in the 77th minute. Then we're picking up a lot of momentum, and you can see Louisville City is just absolutely on the ropes. They are holding on for dear life at this point. And I am with my family. We were actually in North Carolina. I wanted to stay here, you know, to watch that game, obviously, but we had had a vacation plan for ages at that point. So unfortunately it didn't work out, and we were able to get the game up on this, you know, cabin TV. And we were all like starting to get a little antsy towards the end of the game here, with it being 2-1 and the Rowdies are getting closer and closer. And eventually Lucky Mkosana is able to tie it up in stoppage time of the second half and take us into extra time, where I knew based on the momentum that we had, if we were able to take it to extra time, we were going to get another goal and win it. And ultimately that's what happened. Steven Dos Santos got the third goal for us in extra time after we had tied it up in stoppage time. And that was the most incredible game I have ever seen, like, live, I guess. I mean, you know, outside of a World Cup final or something like that, that was the most emotionally invested I think I've ever been, because that was just club level soccer in its absolute best possible form. That it was incredible stuff.
And by the way, sorry if my voice sounds differently, by the way, I had to switch mics in the middle of my laptop almost dying. But by the way, like, we scored that game-winning goal in extra time, in overtime, after we had scored a goal that should have counted, that got disallowed too. I mean, it was just an incredible, incredible just moment of resilience and grit that I don't think I've ever seen from a team ever. Oh my God, I'm dying. I'm choking up on myself just thinking about that moment. It was truly just an incredible, incredible series of events. We scored two goals within 10 minutes to tie the game, in a game where we had been on the back foot the entire game. So it was really, really incredible stuff. Lucky back to back. During normal time, that goes down in history for sure. So, yeah, I mean, obviously, like, if that should be the most memorable game for Rowdies fans, like, obviously, I don't see one that kind of like supersedes that, unless you were at like the Seattle game back in 2014. Am I wrong?
Yeah,
about
right.
That? Or you were at the final in 2012. Like, that should be the game you remember when you think Rowdies, at least at this moment. Certainly plenty of memories to be made. But I mean, yeah, this is kind of one of those games that you look back on, and this is kind of characteristic of Neil Collins and the Neil Collins era. Team that doesn't really give up, you know, just determined and confident in itself, even until the very end. Just really, really impressive that this was able to happen. And it certainly was, I think will be one of the games everybody remembers from Neil Collins' 5 years with us. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if that made the Soccer America top 15 moments of the year in 2021, and that included everything that was related to American sports. So U.S. women's national team, U.S. men's national team, the MLS games and playoffs, everything else that was going on, even college soccer they consider, but that made the top 15. And I believe it was even the top 10, but point is that was the game that I think really, like, sealed Neil Collins in everybody's heart and just made him the most incredible coach that, you know, most of us have seen so far. And hopefully, you know, we have somebody better than that, but my God, do they have a lot to live up to, because that game was just over the top in terms of the drama and the, like I said previously, the emotional investment. I have only ever come as close to, you know, crying as that game when it was World Cup final, and I did cry when Messi won, but that's a little side note. So yeah, that was 2021, and I think that was, you know, regardless of the loss in the end, I think we should all look back on the game that preceded it and just remember that for what it was, because it was something that most of us will never be able to see again. So with that game and that season out of the way, we will move on to 2022. And after losing some big starters from the prior season, including Forrest Lasso, Evan Lauro, and Jordan Doherty, 2022 started off pretty slowly before gaining steam over the summer. And that included a 13-game unbeaten streak. So obviously we were looking pretty good over that little course there. We made the playoffs and lost in the Eastern Conference Final that year, unfortunately, to Louisville City. This was also a weird year with the U.S. Open Cup. It had returned after 2 years away because of COVID. And this was that one, Carlos, that you mentioned. We lost away to Orlando City. I traveled to this game. And, you know, they had dealt with, I guess, Orlando and Tampa rivalries before. So they confined all of us to this upper deck corner in the Orlando City Stadium. It was a little weird. I was sat next to Matt Cox of the
Still Fun.
Yeah, it was definitely of the Unused Substitutes podcast. And, you know, he had told me a couple of experiences he had when he had gone to prior U.S. Open Cup games, or just league games, I should say, against Orlando City, and stuff that I was not expecting to have to deal with. When Neil Collins got sent off with a red card, he did not want to leave, because I do think that he was pretty hard done by there. I think that the calls that we were getting were really, really favorable to Orlando City. And I try to say that as unbiased as possible, because everybody's going to have a problem with the referee almost all the time. But I really felt that we were pretty hard done by. Regardless of that, Neil Collins did not fully leave. He went off the field and then he kind of stood in the stands, which was underneath the section of the field that all of the Rowdies fans had been sent up to in the corner. So we could see him, a lot of us, but he was arguing with the referee that he wasn't going to go farther than that because he was in the stands and he wasn't affecting play. Obviously they were never going to accept that. So he ultimately did have to leave. But I think that after we were so pissed about the way that the game went down, and because of, like I said, what I think are some refereeing decisions that a lot of us are still aggrieved over to this day, I think that him kind of telling the referee to shove it and you know, go take a hike, so to speak, I think that just endeared him to fans even more, which is not always the best thing. You know, you never want to be the guy who was famous for yelling at a referee, but at the same time, we were all on his side that day. So yeah.
Game to do that, it was that game. Exactly. Like, that's the type of game where you want to do that, and that's just the type of game where you win the fans over even more so, even though there's not much more you could have done except win the title to do that. Like, yeah, that's the game. That's the type of thing you do that'll even more so solidify yourself and your, I guess, lore and love with the fans. Absolutely. Yeah,
that's a good way to put it, and probably a better summary than I was dancing around there. But I would definitely say that game, even though it was a loss, it was extremely hard fought. We held Orlando City very close to the end of the game. It was unfortunate the way that it went. Like I said, the referee did not help us out one way or another. So Neil Collins did just add to his own lore in that one. And, you know, I think that it was a very fun game, regardless of the result. And while I was leaving, somebody stole my big green and yellow taped Rowdies hat. So I was none too pleased about that. But, you know, hey, what are you going to get with Orlando City fans? I think that we all have given them a reputation that might be pretty well deserved.
That's a game where, like, people think, like, we exaggerate when we talk about how, like, a rivalry like that can even exist still between us. By the way, the Rowdies and Orlando City never played in the same league, too. If like, anybody is, like, relatively new to the Rowdies fan base and not really aware of the context of everything, like, we've never played in the same league. It's literally just been, like, a total of 8 or 9 games total.
Yeah.
Both of our histories that have almost every single time ended up with an incident in the stands or outside of the stadium. Even like against their B team when Orlando City, when we sent, like, kind of, you know, banished Orlando City B to the Shadow Realms in that 2019 year when we beat them, and they just kind of folded after that. There was always something happening there. And it was so, like, again, like that game for Neil Collins to get active and get in somebody's face, that's the game to do it. And it was truly something I'll remember. Because it's good to know that the guy leading your team is just as passionate about that, about winning, but particularly about that game, as you are after having traveled, you know, hour and a half in I-4 traffic to be there for that, right? So that is the type of thing that in certain situations is truly, truly, really cool to see from your guy at the helm, right?
Yeah. Neil Collins knows what it means to play in a derby, and now he knows, if he didn't before, what it means to coach in a derby, even if it is in America and not, you know, something as ridiculous as they probably get in England and definitely in Scotland. So, yeah, I think that that one will give him some sort of, you know, some sort of lesson for the future, regardless of wherever he ends up in that in his career. Now, to move on to 2023, the offseason there was marked by the return of Forrest Lasso and Jordan Doherty, as well as some good additions. I'm sure that you will all be aware of them because we are just at the end of that season now. We started even worse, unfortunately, this past season than the year before, although we did turn that around again with a very good stretch over the summer. In fact, we sent Neil Collins off with an 11-game unbeaten run. Unfortunately, not quite 13 this time. And that was after our Open Cup loss to Houston, which again was another game that we held an MLS team very, very close. That one was one where I think they scored in the first half, but we looked a lot better in that game than we had in any other game around it. And I think that we really stepped up to it. So, yeah, since leaving, I should note also Neil Collins has led Barnsley in 24 games in all competitions now with 12 wins. Actually, that is not updated to the game that was played today. So I guess it is 25 games with 12 wins. They are in seventh place in their league. That is the third division in England, one spot outside of the promotion playoffs and only 8 points behind the league leaders, which are Bolton Wanderers, if anybody is familiar with that club. He completely reset the standards at this club, I will say, and has made it a very prestigious place to play. Even without any trophies, he turned the Rowdies around and kind of laid a foundation for the future. I think that one thing that we will take away from this year, you and me, Carlos, specifically, is when Neil Collins was leaving, we obviously got to do the press conference. And not only was the press conference delayed after his final game because he stuck around for a very long time to, you know, celebrate with the fans, and then he went and did that after the press conference as well. But he pointed out that, you know, he knew that he was leaving, obviously, before that specific game. They had given him, Barnsley, that is, had given him a couple of games to sort things out, and he wanted to help out the Tampa Bay Rowdies organization before he left to go to England. So he told us that when he, you know, in the interim, before he had actually left to go to Barnsley, he was helping out in terms of the actual head coach search and trying to find, you know, his own replacements. Obviously, he's not directly going to be involved in that, and he probably wasn't even down the line now that we have a new Scott going to be replacing him. But yeah, it is something that he said, stuck out with me, that he is going to remember, you know, as the prior Rowdies coach. There were getting so many people who were trying to reach out to the Tampa Bay Rowdies organization to put their own resumes forward to replace him. And I mean, you don't get that across the USL Championship. No offense to the teams that I'm going to name here, but nobody wants to play on a baseball stadium that hasn't been renovated. I will say Al Lang was a baseball stadium, but it is obviously, you know, a soccer stadium now. It is retrofitted to support not only the field properly, but the stands and the fans that are going to be there. It is a well-run organization owned by an organization itself that, you know, has another sports team, obviously. So there's a lot of money behind it. You can tell that they're going to get a lot of quality. There are good people behind the scenes in the front office. I think that this is a very prestigious job now to have, and that is only confirmed, obviously, by Neil Collins telling us that there were so many people that want to replace him. Ultimately, you can also confirm it just that little bit more because Robbie Nielsen is the new manager. Robbie Nielsen has coached two different clubs three different times from the Scottish Second Division into the Scottish First Division. He took Hearts, his own club, as a player into European competition, which is not something that they're always going to be doing. This is a very prestigious job now, and it wasn't anywhere near this level before Neil Collins was the manager. And I think that's going to be, you know, we can all point to our individual games. Let's say, you know, Orlando City in the Open Cup. Let's say the game against Louisville City at home or the game against Louisville City away. They're all going to be, you know, very important games for each of us. But the overall thing that Neil Collins left us with is a better club than he came into. And that's kind of the biggest thing that I think I can point to as a fan of this club and Neil Collins as a manager.
Absolutely. And you know, there's no way to like directly confirm this, but I feel like it's hard to say that the Robbie Nielsen connection wasn't at least in some way fostered by Neil Collins, whether that was directly, whether that was indirectly. I mean, whether it was just because Nielsen had heard of a Scott doing really well in the U.S. in at the coaching in a coaching role. I don't really know. I'm not really sure what there is to say about this. But I mean, it certainly isn't. I don't think it's a coincidence that we hired back to back Scottish managers. And of, you know, going from one who had to prove himself and did very, very rapidly, to one who is already incredibly proven. I mean, again, to your point, a Robbie Nielsen doesn't go to, you know, 90% of USL's clubs. And that's not to put the Rowdies on like some sort of elite pedestal. In some way it is, actually. Like, that's kind of the point, though. Like, this club has certainly differentiated itself, and it is in large part to a very, very few and select group of people.
Yeah.
You know, one can point to Bill Edwards for saving us from folding as a club, quite literally, at one point. One can point to Lee Cohen's role in the front office, you know, in the past few years. Now to the Rays organization. But the one person that I think will always kind of stick out will be Neil Collins, because I think he is quite literally at the center of that reconstruction of the Rowdies into like what we know it as today, like a powerhouse. You know, like, there is very, very few teams that can compare to it culturally, fan based, you know, product on the field wise. Like, there's very few teams that can do that in the USL.
Mm-hmm.
And the Rowdies are certainly in that upper echelon because of Neil Collins. So I think that's where I'll end my Neil Collins tribute and my thoughts. And, you know, good luck to him at Barnsley. We said that earlier this year when we talked about him leaving. But this has been a great episode, kind of like truly take a minute and step back and appreciate everything he's done, you know, for us as a club. Yeah, literally, like, as a club entirely, not just a product on the field, but as you said, the club as a whole.
Yeah. I think that, you know, this is the best way to leave it off on this episode, is just to say that there's an old image that I remember of Borussia Dortmund when Jurgen Klopp took over, and they were, you know, a broken club, this and that. And he didn't leave them with any trophies, but he built that club into an edifice, something that stood up and, you know, was able to make fans proud on its own. And I will say, after Jurgen Klopp left, it has kind of tumbled a lot, but I don't expect the same of the Tampa Bay Rowdies, because I think we are much better run in terms of the league that we play in, as opposed to maybe Borussia Dortmund. But he did build it up just the same way that I think Jurgen Klopp did at Borussia Dortmund. So that is where I will leave it, with a very weighty comparison, I suppose, but fair enough to Klopp and Neil. So to turn it over now with our last point, just want to say, please tune in to our RBLR Deportes show. We are getting that off the ground, obviously, and Santiago is doing a fantastic job covering not only the Rowdies, but all the Tampa Bay clubs in the football arena and hockey, baseball, and soon to be the Tampa Bay Sun. Speaking of which, we should note that the Tampa Bay Sun program for RBLR Sports is also up and running. Please tune into that whenever you can and make sure that you give both of those a follow on Twitter. Hey, let's move on to the next thing here. Please follow RBLR Sports on Twitter as well. We are at RBLR Sports on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, Threads, anywhere that you are. We are as well. And I specifically am mostly on Twitter at RBLR James K. What about you, Carlos?
At Carlos GPA10 on Twitter. I mean, there's going to be a lot of Rowdies content, I'm sure, in the next few weeks. I'm sure that'll be coming as well soon. But my Twitter feed's been dominated by Georgetown basketball recently. We got robbed. I don't know if anybody wants to see the most blatant example of robbery you'll ever see in sports. The guy was literally standing out of bounds when he beat us with a game-winning three the other day. Just incredible. You can't, like, overturn that, by the way. A weird college basketball rule. And I'm sure Georgetown basketball might continue to dominate my timeline at least until Saturday when we play our biggest rivals. But, yeah, it'll be a fun game. And, again, there's plenty of sports to talk about, plenty of sports to take in while the Rowdies are on the offseason. But that offseason Rowdies content is coming soon. And I'm so, so excited to talk about whatever new players we announce. You know, big names, depth pieces, academy players, I don't care. We need content to talk about, and I'm so excited for that to come around soon.
Yeah, absolutely. And in the meantime, Carlos, we might do a little bit of speculation Christmas wish listing because I think it is just about that time of year anyway. So yep. With all of that said, if you would like to get everything that we have just alluded to, please like and subscribe to our podcast. You can get the full experience on YouTube, of course. But if you just want to hear us, we are also on Spotify, iHeartRadio app, Apple and Google Podcasts. For another week in the bag, coming up on 2024, down the line, come on, you Rowdies.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.